Hey everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, to tell you about my friends over at Gaslight. Check them out on GaslightSTL.com. Go on over there, book yourself a tour if you haven't been by yet. It's a top-notch recording studio in town. They're doing really great stuff over there. Get yourself, book yourself a tour. Come over, check it out. You can come out this Friday, the 23rd of September, and see Old Mountains there in the recording studio. And then also October 9th, big party going on over there. It's going to be the 300th episode of Rock Paper Podcast featuring special guest Kavo. Very, very excited about this, guys. Super pumped to have Kavo there. And then Loft Sessions, friends of the show, are going to be recording the whole thing for video. And it's just going to be an awesome day. We're going to have Four Hands, Urban Chestnut, Smoking Hot Cigars, Jameson Whiskey, and Cha Cha Chow. A lot of great vendors and people involved. And so $10 gets you in the door. And then, so come on out. Very limited seating. It's going to be a very intimate evening with Kavo. And that's on October 9th, Sunday. Come on out. GaslightSTL.com for full listing of events and details. And also follow them on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Podcast is kind of like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
Hello, this is Kenny Williamson of Rockin' Photo. You're listening to Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast, y'all.
Hey, everybody. Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri, hanging out today with Kenny Williamson. Welcome to the show, my friend.
Oh man, I'm honored, dude.
This has kind of been a while in the making, but I'm excited that this is that we're here today to make this happen, man. You've been a guy like, you know, which is a lot of these, like, I tell the story a lot, but it's like a lot of these are just a good excuse for me to hang out with some people that I admire and I'm a fan of and get to know them a little better because, you know, with you, your photography and stuff, like most of the time we see each other is at shows when you're working and it's hard, you know, I wave, I say hey, but it's hard to really carry on a conversation when the music's going on. So
That's right. Yeah, I've been seeing you around town and I don't know, all the music shows I can think of for about a year now, at least.
I started
recognizing you and seeing your Facebook posts. And
sure.
Yeah, it's weird how you definitely you run into so many different people.
Yeah, no, I say a lot too. I meet, I get to talking. That's what I do. I get to talking to people, and I meet them at shows, and then of course you see them at the next show, and so on. But a lot of the people that are in my life right now are people that are all fans of music. They all go to we all go to the same shows. We keep running into each other all over town, and. You know, it's just awesome to kind of create this network of friends. You know, I had my friends from high school and stuff and, you know, when I was younger and all that. And then it's like, but it's cool to have like this new batch of friends that I've developed over the last several years just through music.
Absolutely. I think the music community in St. Louis is probably, it's just incredible. I mean, whether you're a musician, photographer, fan, artist, whatever.
Right.
Everybody's so approachable and just you just become lifelong friends. You just can't help it.
Yeah, that's when I started the show, that was always kind of the goal. Like when you know, we always wanted to just talk about music and comedy and other interesting people, so it wasn't always just limited to that. But I always had this idea of wanting to talk with photographers and the sound guys and the security guards and everybody that's all a part of making it possible. I mean, it's not just the singer up there or the guitar player. It's everybody that makes this whole thing run. So
it does. It takes a small army
to
get a band going and sounding good. That's for sure.
So I'm thrilled that this worked out to get to sit with you and talk some of the stories and stuff about what you've been up to. And so you were telling me just off mic, this is your 10th year now shooting photography down at the amphitheater.
Yeah.
Well, how many different names has it been under
Let's see. Well, it was Riverport Amphitheater originally.
All right.
And it's probably, it's, you know, it's 25, 26 years old now. So when I started, it was the UMB Bank Pavilion.
Yeah.
And then it was the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater. And then now it's Hollywood Casino Amphitheater.
Right. I think it's funny, though. I mean, like, you know, obviously anybody that's been around St. Louis for a while, we all still just call it Riverport. You know, it's like,
right.
It's what it's always going to be, no matter who's got the contract this year or whatever it is. But
yeah, well, Live Nation owns it now and has owned it for, you know,
right,
more than a decade. And it's really who can come up with the sponsorship money to put their name on the venue. But it's always going to be a Live Nation venue. And, you know, it holds about 20,000 people, 35, 40 shows a year. It's still just everything from country to, you know, great rock.
Yeah.
105.7, the alternative rock and roll or classic rock from Casey.
Sure.
And the country stations are well represented there as well. So it's a pretty cool, if you like variety of stuff.
Yeah.
It's a great place to work.
Yeah, for sure. You've been doing this like 10 years and like, is, I know, like, I watched, something recently, it was like the reunion or the anniversary of that whole Guns N' Roses. Yeah. Obviously, that was before your time working there. But like, just listening to those stories, like you know, all that mess that happened that year and stuff. But I mean, obviously, probably nothing that crazy since then. But I mean, you're there, you're at all these shows, you know, there when all this stuff happens. I mean, is there do you have a story of one of the
craziest
things?
Yeah, I mean, nothing's ever going to top the Guns N' Roses event, I think, because that was early on in you know, in the history of the venue. And it's just become legendary.
Yeah.
You know, unfortunately, I haven't had anything epic happen like that I've witnessed. I mean, you see a lot of crazy stuff all the time.
Sure. Well, even, like, good stuff. Like, I know I see pictures online and video and things from cell phones, and like, you get you know, like recently stuff like I know, like, Keith Urban pulled somebody up on stage, or you know, a lot of these country guys, they seem to do it a lot, and it's always cool to see these moments where they have that interaction with a young fan or whatever it is. And
I could tell you that over the years, the country segment, the production, the shows that come through, and the country artists, rock and roll guys are fantastic. The country artists seem to really go an extra mile to engage with the audience. Mm-hmm. And you do see moments like that with Keith Urban. Derek Bentley does it. They'll bring a fan onto the stage, and it seems spontaneous. I don't know you know, behind the scenes if somebody kind of made that arrangement earlier in the day. You know, I don't know exactly how that works, but it's real when it happens. And it's, you know, that fan has just a memory now for the rest of their life. It's unbelievable.
I was at a Brad Paisley show a couple of years ago, and they had like a small stage like set up at the very back of the seats. And I thought that was like a cool thing for him to do, is because he like, you know, ran off the stage and went out there with just him and a guitar, and he sang out to the lawn.
Right.
And he's like, you know, I want to sing out to the cheap seats. He's like, that's where I was at. You know, like, I was that kid out there. So I want to, you know, those are the people that I want to talk to. And like, so I thought that was really neat that, you know, not just, you know, people that are paying big dollars to come see the show, you're getting affecting everybody else too out there.
Yeah, so. And I've seen that. You see that several times a year.
Yeah.
An artist will put a satellite stage behind the soundboard, and it's literally they're playing to the lawn, you know. And it's a full setup, you know, stripped down from the stage, the main stage. But they'll go out there, and usually it's five or six songs, and it's just incredible to witness something like that.
Yeah, it was one time I was at a Point Fest, I believe, and Bush was on stage. Gavin Rosdale jumped off and like ran through the lawn, and it was just crazy. Like, you know, just to be a part of that, like, where you know it's not
you know, he might have thought he was going to do it, but just like just a unscripted kind of thing, you know, everybody just like freaking out because there's here comes Gavin Rossdale out in the middle of, you know, 20,000 people in the grass or whatever.
And, right. And it's always fun to watch the security guys, you know, if it does become spontaneous.
Right.
It's like they're all reacting to try to make sure he's protected. Sure. You know, so yeah. That can be comical sometimes to watch that.
Yeah. So now when you're, you know, you see these moments, I mean, that's like, you know, do your eyes just light up trying to capture that?
Well, it depends on when it happens.
Yeah.
So, concert photography in big venues and with major acts and whatnot, there's strict rules and mm-hmm. guidelines and things like this. So a typical show for me is the first three songs.
Yeah.
And what that means is we are given permission and authorization to have, you know, big ass cameras and to be in a certain place and photograph first three songs only, and as soon as it's done, usually someone from their tour or one of our security guys, you know, gives you the stop signal,
yeah.
and we're escorted out.
Right.
So we can go put our cameras away and come back and watch, but if one of these epic moments happens outside of that three-song limit, you know, then we're not going to capture it. So luckily there's 18,000 to 20,000 cell phones capturing the moment.
Sure. Just,
you know, they don't want to ban all photography.
Yeah.
So apparently, when you have a big camera,
what is the thought process behind that? Why just the first three songs?
You know, it varies. You know, for the most part, it's really it could be distracting.
Yeah.
Sometimes when you have multiple photographers in a photo pit. And, you know, people in the front row have paid good money, mm-hmm. you know, and there's always going to be security guys stationed there. But when you add an extra 6 to 10 photographers kind of moving around,
sure.
it can be very distracting, first of all, to the fan.
Yeah. Okay?
But it's also can be distraction to the artist as well. And that's probably the done. And probably by song four, they're all sweaty and nasty looking and don't... You know, a lot of the people shooting them from the photo pit are press, so these images are going to go out. And, and so, you know, like we talked about it earlier, it's an army of people managing these artists. So they're PR people, really only want the best of them, you know, of the artists going out over any type of publication.
Right.
So. That's my conspiracy theory is they always save the really cool lighting and the cool stage stuff and the wow factor, you know, it always happens after we get done shooting.
Yeah.
And so if we put images out where this, you know, Tommy Lee all of a sudden goes upside down on his drum kit,
yeah.
it kind of spoils the wow factor, people seeing images like that. So, and I get it, you know, it's fine.
Sure. Do you, when people ask you, do you have a particular favorite image or anything that comes to mind that you have been able to capture?
Yeah, I mean, we're in my basement right now, my man cave.
Yeah.
And I printed out several of my favorites. So probably my all-time favorite is over there, which is a shot from the Foo Fighters when they played last year, 2015, at Wrigley Field. Dave Grohl's still in his throne.
Yeah.
It's towards the end. And huge stage. I mean, it was an incredible concert. And at the end of the Foo Fighters set, their encore, they were done. The house lights came on a little bit. And all of a sudden, Dave Grohl stands up, which up until that point, I had not seen him do on this tour yet.
Yeah.
You know, stand up and walk. When he's playing, he would stand up for a little bit and then sit right back down.
Yeah.
But he stood up and with his crutches started walking across the stage thrust from, you know, center field where the stage was. And this thrust went out about 40 yards or so. And he just started walking. And the band was following him probably about 15, 20 feet back. And when Dave Grohl got to the end of the thrust, he just raised his crutches up in the air over his head, and the crowd is just insanely loud, just cheering like crazy. And at this point, I was, you know, I got to disclose that I was in my seat.
Right.
But I did have my point-and-shoot camera with me. And I'm like, this is unbelievable. And as a fan, I was caught up in the whole thing. But I managed to squeeze off a couple shots of that. And when I got home and was looking through the images, and I saw that, and it was like, this is probably my favorite picture that I've ever shot.
Yeah.
And you know, it just turned out magic moment.
Sure.
And it's all about the moment.
Yeah. No, I agree. I kind of got into a little bit. I mean, definitely nothing like you're doing. But I would bring a camera just because I enjoyed doing a little bit of photography at the show, just mainly to capture that moment. Like I said, you know, to showcase what my friends are up to, you know, to get some of these live images from my friend's show. Because you know, a lot of these local shows, there aren't, you know, your photographers around, besides everybody with their cell phone cameras and stuff. So now we got a little bit more now. We got a couple, you know, it does seem like they're more, you know, people getting interested into it. And but I would do these, shoot some pictures and stuff and put them online. And people seem to like it, but just because it was that whole thing of just that capturing that right moment, you know, and being there.
Yeah, you're never going to fully be able to, you know, let's say somebody came from another planet, so, and I'm going to show them, you know, try to explain what a concert is.
Yeah.
You know? You can show all the coolest pictures in the world, but unless you're really there, I mean, you're never going to really fully give someone a concert experience by them looking at an image of it.
Yeah.
Now, if you're there, if you were at that show and you look at an image that was shot and you can connect, I remember when that happened, or I was here, or I know that song exactly when that shot was, you know, it kind of takes you into that moment again.
Yeah.
You know, that's certainly what my goal is, you know, when I...
Sure.
It's not going to happen with every image, but if I can get one great shot from each show that I do, great in terms of how I feel about it, that really shows that emotion from the artist, or maybe it's the production really that is the star of the show. Sometimes the lights and the effects and all the cool, the people that are in the pit with their arms up in the air.
Yeah.
You know, so you get a cool stage shot with the people in front. That just creates a nice magic moment. Most people can connect to that because they stood behind someone in that spot, you know.
Right.
So
you were telling me that that you are self-taught, that you did all this year on your own, right?
Yeah. You know, back in the day, really the only camera I would ever have with me is those little Kodak disposable ones.
Yeah.
You know, you used to buy at Walgreens, and everything's in a kit. You just take the few pictures and you drop it off, and you get prints. So, you know, I just always enjoyed having that kind of thing with me on vacations or whatever. And I had a friend who worked in radio who went over to work at Riverport on their website. So he became like the webmaster. And the photographer they had at the time left, and he needed somebody to shoot a particular show, which was Three Doors Down and Breaking Benjamin and Stain. This was in 2005.
Yeah.
And he just asked me, hey, do you want to come down and shoot a concert? I'd never done that before. I've been to hundreds of concerts. I never even paid attention to whether there was photographers there, because I just never really cared, to be honest. But I was going to all these shows anyway, and I said, I'd love to. So I did that. By that time, I'd already had a film camera, nothing fancy, nothing old school, automatic type of Minolta, you know, 35 millimeter. And I really didn't even have experience or know comfortably how to use the manual controls, you know. So a lot of what I was doing was on automatic or whatever. I took that and shot that show on film, and it was a pain in the ass. It was expensive.
Yeah.
I was not happy. I mean, it was, I look back at those images today, and it's just laughable.
Right.
You know? But, you know, we got a couple shots from that. But I forget the quality, how good the pictures were or bad they were. That moment was a defining moment of my life, to be honest with you. You know, I don't know how else to explain it, except it was like the most amazing thing ever. And I wanted to do it again.
Sure.
And so the challenge to myself became real at that point. It's like, you know, this is, I clearly could see that it was an opportunity and a privilege to do it. But if I wanted to keep doing it, I needed to get better and learn what the heck I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
So I only did a couple shows that year. And, you know, the following year, I remember the show that really blew my head was Aerosmith, and being in the pit, and you know, Joe Perry and Steven Tyler. I mean, just literally, I could put my hand on the stage and touch their feet.
Right.
You know, it's just it's unbelievable. And I had gotten a shot that's in my portfolio now. This one.
Yeah.
From that show, and so many people liked it and complimented it, and I wasn't even on. I mean, this is 2006, so before any social media was happening.
Right.
I would just show the picture to people, and they really liked that. And so that was the beginning of the feedback thing. And gosh, you can actually do something, and somebody will tell you like it.
Yeah.
You know, and that doesn't happen with my day job, so...
Sure.
It's nice to get positive reinforcement of anything you do in life.
Yeah.
Anytime you can get encouragement and reinforcement that you're doing a good job, you tend to want to keep doing that.
Sure.
You know? So
I was just at Lou Fest over the weekend.
Yeah.
Two strangers, didn't know, they were like, "Hey, we like your podcast." And I was like, "Thanks." I was like, you know, this is crazy. I'm like, you know, there's whatever 20,000-30,000 people out there in Forest Park, and they recognized me and said they listen. And so I was like, that's nuts. Like, so I totally relate to that feeling.
It's great. It's the greatest feeling.
Yeah.
And so I just, from then on, I was not going to give that job up. You know.
Sure.
And I got into digital. Started very small and then worked my way up. So. The best college for photography is any photo pit in America,
right,
where there's a band playing. That's where you learn.
Sure.
You know, I talk to young people and try to give them advice or tips and stuff like this, but, you know, a photographer is an artist, so the last thing you really want to do is get too far into instruction with an artist, because you want that person to find themselves, you know. But I had definitely had mentors along my path,
mm-hmm.
and people to pick their brain and feedback and all those kinds of things. So I just jumped right in, man.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just crazy that, like, I'm sitting here looking at these. Like I said, you have bunch of beautiful prints, and like to think that that Aerosmith shot's only a year into really doing this. It's pretty wild. But.
Well, that's, you know, out of several hundred images that I shot, most of them were like basically just a hunter. You know, imagine a hunter with a shotgun hearing noises in the bushes,
right,
just squeezing the trigger and firing at whatever.
Yeah,
that one happened to be a moment that kind of froze in time as it happened right in front of me.
Yeah.
And, you know, Steven Tyler wrapped around Joe Perry's leg while he's in the middle of shredding a solo. It's just that picture became a picture before I even did anything with a camera. You
sure.
know what I mean? So I was lucky that everything was set right on the camera, and all the lights worked out perfect. So, you know, a lot of what you see when you see my images, a big part of it is kind of being prepared and knowing what I'm doing technically with the camera.
Right.
And a big part of it also is, God, I hope I got that shot.
Yeah.
Because so many things are happening at one time with lights and exposure. And, you know, if you're too slow on a shutter speed, then you're going to get a blurry image. If you're too fast, everything's going to be dark. So it's, you know, you have to, you know, at this point, I'm real comfortable with my equipment.
Sure.
And no more automatic. It's all manual and moving my thumb, my fingers, everything's focus. Everything's happening at one time. So, but there's always those shots when I'm looking at it on the computer. It's like, oh man, you know, I missed it.
Yeah.
And it happens all the time.
Sure. Well, I'm sure it goes the other way too. I'm sure there's something you didn't think you got, and all of a sudden you find a little piece of gold. You're like, man, that's a great shot that you didn't think you got, right?
Well, most of anytime I get a shot of a guitar player who's flying through the air, who jumps off something, or from a standstill position from the stage, just all of a sudden he's 4.5 feet in the air, you know, and he's a gymnastic move kind of thing. Well, I might be focused on the other part of the stage, and a corner of my eye I can see something about to happen.
Yeah.
And so by the time I get over and look and start to react to it, he's already... So basically it's a one-handed kind of thing, a maneuver where I just hold the camera up, I put it in that direction, and just pray.
Sure.
It's a Hail Mary.
Yeah.
You know, not all the time, but those kind of things happen because you don't want to miss anything. And it's just in our blood to try to capture everything.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to sometimes talk yourself out of just focus on one of the band members. There's always going to be stuff happening, but you got to kind of wait, let it play out, and just wait until you get there. You know?
Sure.
But something crazy happens, you got to, you know, it's just instinct to react to
it. With you, like, you know, you saying that you caught the bug going to the show for the first time and things, but being that, you know, you have become a successful photographer doing this, like, are people asking you to do other stuff too, like weddings and things, and are you just like doing concerts?
I do. I get asked all the time, actually, to do weddings mostly. Senior pictures are coming my way. But I started with music photography, and I'm still, in my mind, you know, I'm still learning, and I still love it, and it's still a challenge, and I have a long way to go, you know, and I'm just really not interested in it. In the other stuff, there are, just like there's a particular eye you have to have for music photography.
Right.
And it's the same applies to a wedding photographer.
Sure.
Same applies to a portrait photographer or a landscape photographer. These people are experts in those genres, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing the work they do. And I've tried to say to myself, oh, I can do that. I'll do the wedding, you know, for a cousin or somebody. And I have all these great wedding pictures in my head that I've seen, and it's hard as hell.
Sure.
I don't know how they do it.
Yeah.
And it's frustrating.
Yeah.
And I don't like to be frustrated. So if I'm going to ever, let's say, be a photographer and make a living doing it full time, go nuts, I would probably take a year to really learn technique.
Mm-hmm.
With doing portraits and weddings and those kind. I wouldn't want to just commit to somebody, I'll shoot the most important day of your life,
right,
and give them pictures that anyone at the wedding could have taken with their cell phone, you know.
Sure.
I would feel horrible.
Yeah, I always kind of think like one of my favorites, Mitch Hedberg, great comic, he had a great joke about like people always wanting, you know, you're good at one thing, but they want you to do other stuff too.
Yeah.
So it was like the whole thing, like, you know, the guy can be the best, you know, cook in the world. And he's like, yeah, can you farm too? You know, and he's like, all right, that kind of stuff. So I always kind of go back to that. Like, it's just, but, you know, it's the same thing. You have that eye for concert photography, but that doesn't mean you can do weddings.
Exactly.
Like you're saying, you could take a picture, but you don't have that vision for all that stuff.
Yeah, and I have a lot of respect for people who do that kind of work and do it well.
Sure.
It's a lot of work to get to a level of some of these people that shoot weddings. And it's a lot of hours, and it's, you know, it's not easy.
Yeah.
But you look at the end result, and, you know, you cry because they're so beautiful.
Yeah.
And that's what you want your client to experience. You know?
Yeah. Do you get to sell any of these many of these images to whether the bands or the
band? I have a few people actually who are regular buyers of images from me. They're pretty much, most of them are for sale on my website, mm-hmm. but it's not something that gives me income all the time.
Yeah.
So my goal every year is to pay for my website. I have two websites, and to maintain those on annually.
Yeah.
If I can sell a few prints to cover the cost of that,
sure.
I'm happy.
So, but you never gotten a call from like a Steven Tyler or something?
Well, I got a call from Elton John.
Yeah.
So this is what you see over here. And his tour manager, when he played here in 2012 at Chaffetz Arena, and they saw my images from that, and they approached me about they wanted 8 of those images to use in his concert program, the tour book, and that's what I have framed over here. But
yeah.
That was unbelievable.
Sure.
Early in 2009, so I was only shooting for a few years, a picture I took in 2008 of Brooks and Dunn, their people contacted me about one of the images from the show. It's a live images of the two of them together. They wanted to put on a concert t-shirt. And so that was the first business thing I've ever had to experience. So here I am, just this dork, going to concerts, taking pictures, and all of a sudden I got a major artist.
Yeah.
And, you know, what do I do? I don't... So, and it was an awkward kind of thing. But anyway, I did end up licensing the image to them to use for the t-shirt. And
did they at least send you a free shirt?
They did.
Yeah, nice.
Signed and everything.
Yeah, very cool.
And I got money for it. It wasn't a lot, but... You know, compared to they sell those things for $30 or whatever.
Sure.
And which is funny because you start, when you get approached about stuff like this and you're not experienced with it, like I wasn't then and I still am not, but you start doing math in your head. So you start thinking, okay, they're going to sell, I don't know how many you're going to sell. There's 20,000 people at a concert. Let's say you sell 5,000 of this shirt.
Right.
And you got 60 concerts and they're $30. And all of a sudden I'm thinking I'm going to be a millionaire, you know? But it doesn't work that way.
Sure.
So. Yeah.
I mean, I think that's the case with all of them. When you look at artists spend all this time to, write and record this music, and then they go in the studio and they cut it. And then they go and sell it on iTunes for $1, and then they only get like a couple pennies of that.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it's just like you realize how much that money's all spursed out everywhere else.
It makes me sick, man.
Yeah.
Where the music industry is right now.
Yeah.
And bands, and it's heartbreaking.
Sure.
Especially when, you know, we both have friends who do that.
Yeah.
You know, but I think it's the place where we're at today. These guys are just given one hell of a show mm-hmm. When you pay the $30.
Yeah, yeah. I think the live show is where it's at. I mean, like, you know, obviously, for money wise, for those guys, I mean,
yeah.
Like, you know, they make the music because they love it, and then they put the CDs and stuff. I think it's just to give so they have stuff to sell at the live shows and stuff, and then make more, you know, make money off of merch. But you know, the live shows is, you know, that's where you got to be at. Like, so yeah, I live music's always been a huge passion of mine for many years, and I just, I don't know, I love it.
I know, and so this is the photographer who's having any kind of income shooting music today. You know, these are people who are on the road or they're away from home 200 days, 250 days a year. And it's the same with the musician. Mm-hmm. So if you really want to, if that's how you're going to make your living doing nothing else,
yeah,
you know, you're going to do shows. You're going to do 200 of them. And you're not going to make a lot of money, but you're going to build a fan base and play bigger venues and hopefully on and on, you know.
Yeah.
And so I started pretty late in this game, so for me to jump into a van and travel 200 days a year is not going to happen.
Sure. I had the privilege of getting to hang out with Kenny Barr a while back, who also does a lot of photography around town.
Yeah.
And he was telling me a story about, like, selling an image that from the Ferguson riot stuff, and he sold it to whatever the news outlet was that picked it up. But yeah, just like hearing that story of like going, you know, dealing with selling that image, and you selling to Elton John and Brooks and Dunn and stuff. I mean, it's just like it's cool to
hear
those stories.
It's, and there's, you know, to think we're in St. Louis, Missouri, in the middle of the country, and you know, Ferguson is only going to happen in images from that, especially early on in the event, from St. Louis photographers going to capture that.
Yeah.
Before all the wire service people show up to town and stuff
right.
like this. So I remember coming home, I was shooting Miley Cyrus at Scott Trade Center the night the whole thing went down. And, you know, I've got all my camera gear with me, and I can hear it on the radio. A piece of me, a real small part of me, said, oh, you should probably go down there because this could be huge and all this stuff. But really, I talked myself out of it because it's one thing just to be in that environment with a camera, but it takes a trained, you know, a special kind of mindset to be
sure.
able to get into that world, you know, and capture moments.
Yeah.
So there were, gosh, so many fantastic images that told the story
yeah.
of that event, you know.
And Kenny was, I mean, telling me about, like, you know, tear gas. I mean, everything. It was a war zone down there,
yeah.
you know. And like, so you, let alone are you, you're putting yourself in that situation where you could easily be, you know,
right.
injured, but let alone in the circumstance of the tear gas and everything else, trying to shoot an image and stuff. So,
but the guys who are all down there are getting great stuff,
right.
And you know, as it turns out, our St. Louis Post-Dispatch photographer David Carson won a Pulitzer Prize
yeah.
for his images from that. So, you know, it is dangerous. It's crazy,
mm-hmm.
But these are people committed to doing
yeah,
that,
sure.
you know, and at whatever cost. And he, you know, David was in some hairy moments at times,
yeah.
but he became one of the most famous photographers in the world as a result.
Yeah, definitely. You know, you're hearing a little bit of already, you know, remembering that night and Miley Cyrus and stuff. Are you able to, like, catalog all that and remember those nights?
Or? Most of them, you know, it's not so much the dates, but I can remember the shows
yeah.
for the most part. There's a few forgettable ones,
sure,
but you know, if they're my favorite bands,
yeah,
a lot of the, you know, as we sit here and I got stuff printed all over them.
Sure,
these are my favorite artists. This is a combination of my favorite images, but really every one of these bands that you might see down here are people that I either grew up listening to or
yeah.
listen to today, or mm-hmm. they mean something to me, and the show was fantastic.
Yeah. People ask me all the time about, you know, right? Cause I go to a lot of shows, but like, I can tell you, like, I know I saw them, and I can tell you probably a story that related, but like, a lot of times it's the years and time and stuff like that. All
yeah,
I can't remember that stuff, but
I get years mixed up too, and argue with people. No, it was in 2008. No, it was 2011. Sure. I don't know anymore.
But I was just actually right before coming over here, I recorded another one, and we were talking about Rival Sons, which I saw you there that night.
Absolutely.
And I was just telling that story about how, you know, being able to see those guys before that show and the previous time and seeing them in a small club and stuff and like, and how cool that was. But I, you know, again, it's like I have memories of seeing them. It's just, it's hard to, the time frame is always tricky for me. So,
yeah. And I'll ask you a question now.
Yeah.
Is there really nothing better than seeing a band, let's say the Rival Sons?
Yeah.
And you had mentioned maybe Chris Stapleton too.
Sure.
When he played Firebird.
Yeah.
But seeing an artist in a club, and then within a year, 2 years, 5 years, they're blowing up arenas, Fox Theater, whatever. But then all of a sudden now it's $75 to $100 to see them.
Sure.
But you know, you paid $8 or $10 in a modern day, and nothing ever will beat that experience because you were only with a couple hundred people.
Yeah. No, I said that. I mean, that's exactly what I said. Is I had the opportunity to see Chris at Lou Fest, but I had to leave early. I was way too tired. I worked all the night before, and so I was really bummed to miss out on him there. But again, that experience at Lou Fest would never touch, you know, seeing him with whatever 30,000-40,000 people, whoever was out there. I don't know what the final count was, but there was a lot of people out there,
right?
And compared to 300 inside a Firebird, you know, it's like, that's not going to ever compare.
No.
So, but yeah, just, I, been fortunate enough to, you know, see a lot of those moments, and it's just, it's something awesome, man. Like about just being there, and you know, these people are going to be stars, and it's just like, and it's like, you want to tell your friends, there's a part of you like, yeah, you got to check this out. But then a part of you is like, I want to keep this to myself. Mm-hmm. Like, there's something really cool.
I don't want
to
share.
Yeah. But it's like, of course, you know, Chris went on to, for that story, Chris went on to do that performance with Justin Timberlake on the CMAs or whatever. And then all of a sudden, like next year he comes out, he's selling, or 6 months later, even he's selling out Peabody and then, or Fox or whatever, which one it was. And then, you know, headlining Lou Fest. And it's like, that's just nuts.
It's a 25-year overnight success story for that guy.
Well, it's not like he's completely unknown. He's been at it for a long time. But, yeah, finally getting some of that success.
Well, the country fell in love with him, I think, at that performance for sure.
Sure.
And but, you know, speaking of clubs and things and seeing artists at that level before they blow up, you know, St. Louis has a great club scene, as you know. And
I was told we have the most music venues per capita.
I believe it.
So, which we, I believe we have a lot of great spots to see live music at.
Absolutely. And, you know, Pageant's a top five club in the country, ticket sales. So, but there's a whole community and of photographers, music photographers who shoot, you know, 90% of their stuff. It comes from the clubs, which is an extremely tough environment to shoot in. You know, I'm spoiled because at the amphitheater we have the big lights and everything. But if you want to get humbled as a photographer, go try to shoot a band at the Firebird or the Duck Room.
Yeah, no photo pit there.
No, and you're lucky if you get a couple ceiling lights on you.
Yeah.
But, you know, they do it, and they do it well. And I see those people, they come out the amphitheater every once in a while, and I'm just, you know, they're happy to meet me, and I'm like, I saw those shots you got of, you know, whatever, that's amazing. I don't know how you do it. I've tried it, and it's real challenging, you know. So that's the next phase for me, is like, I gotta figure out what the hell these guys are doing, you know. It's not easy.
I guess I mean, that's like I'm sure that's the case with a lot of, you know, about anything, is it's constantly evolving and it's constantly learning. You know, you want to keep learning whatever the newest thing is, and these people are out there doing something a little different, and you want to learn how they're doing that, right, you know, and stuff. So I'm sure that's the, like, you know, I'm sure they want to learn from you and you want to learn from them.
Yeah, and that's the cool part is everyone's pretty open with each other. There's not really, at least I haven't witnessed a competitiveness amongst the photographers in town. It's pretty open, easy to talk to people kind of thing.
Yeah.
And sharing information or knowledge or whatever. It's just pretty awesome.
Sure. How often, you know, technology's quickly evolving, especially with digital and stuff, but, you know, how often are you, changing gear and stuff? Do you go shopping a lot for new cameras?
Well, I did. I mean, when I got my first digital SLR camera, which was Canon 40D, for those of you out there that know what I just said, you know, it was a fantastic camera. It was great. But just like everything else, electronics, and if you're a total freaking geek like I am, you got to have, you know, you think you have to. You don't. It took me a while to realize you don't need the fancy stuff.
Sure.
But anyway, you get on a roll. So, yeah, I was replacing cameras and whatnot. I'm finally today at a place where I think I'll have these two camera bodies that I have that I shoot with mainly. I'll have those for a long time.
Yeah.
Because they do the job. And really, it's the lenses part of the deal is the expensive part, you know.
Right.
And finding a combination of lenses that work for you, that you're not carrying around 100 pounds of stuff all the time. You know, for what I do and for what makes me happy to get the images I need, I use two camera bodies and four lenses. That's it. There's guys and gals who show up with one camera body and one lens who do equally amazing work.
Right.
You know, it's just a question of how much time do you really want to spend changing lenses or different looks with your images, wide angles versus telephoto and all this stuff. I like to show as much variety. So at the amphitheater, you know, if we're going to post images about the show on social media and stuff, I want to be able to show as many different looks from, you know, the three songs that I just was able to shoot as possible. So I'll start in the photo pit for two songs, and I'll have some close-ups of the singer, the drummer, whatever, and I'll switch out and have a wide angle, try to get a full band shot from the stage, and then I have a fisheye type of lens, which really gives you this, you know, I could stand 4 feet from 25 people and have everyone in the frame, you know. So for a couple songs I'll do that, and then I'll try to get back to where the soundboard is for a song, and because I really enjoy having the crowd in the foreground and the stage in the background, and kind of wait and hope that it gets to a point where they're lit up a little bit and their hands are in the air.
Yeah.
And it just shows a big party atmosphere. So you can't get that kind of scope if you're at the stage the whole time.
Sure.
And for me, with working on a short time frame and for time management, that's why I have two cameras.
Yeah. Yeah. So anybody wants to come check out some of your work, it's all... or quite a bit of it on your profile, right? Our portfolio, sorry, on RKN Photo.
Yep.
And then that's .com. So that's your website. You said you have another one too?
Well, the other website I have actually is a host site.
Okay.
So it hosts the images. Every image I take goes onto this placeholder, if you will. And then that feeds to the website based on what I choose to show.
Okay.
And the website will link you back to that other place for where there's albums set up and the images that are I'm allowed to sell are for sale, and they're I try to price them so that anybody can buy it, you know.
Sure.
It's not, I'm not a famous photographer, so I'm not charging hundreds of dollars for something.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's pretty cool how it works.
Pretty sure it was yours.
Uh-oh.
I would hate to get it wrong.
It's all right.
But is it I bought an image. Do you sell yours at the
CD warehouse?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. All right, great. All right, I got it right then.
Yeah, my buddy Walter Ray, yeah. he asked me if I wanted to put some images in his shop, and I'm like, holy crap, that's awesome, man. Yeah. Thank you.
I was pretty sure I was right. I would have been embarrassed if I would have mistold the story, but I bought one of those images.
Oh, okay, thank you.
From Walter over there, and it happened to be the one of Moon on the red couch or whatever.
That one over there, you mean?
That
on the west wall?
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
That's one of my favorite shots.
Yeah, and I got... They did a Greek Fire Unplugged set over at Hard Rock a couple of years ago, whatever it was. And I brought that image. I was like, man, it'd be cool to get him to sign it. And so anyway, I was hanging out there for a minute and, you know, hoping to get him to sign it. And I think he had to run over to the point and work, do a radio shift after that. So he was kind of running around. But I think his wife noticed I was standing there waiting to say hi. And so she's like... pointing. So he ran back over there and, you know, introduced himself and said, hey, and all this stuff. And I was like, hey, would you care to sign on this? And he wrote Flying High on it and autographed it. And it was, I have that, I was telling you when I came down to your man cave and see all your pictures and stuff, this is what I want to do. And I have that image, ready to roll whenever that time comes.
That's right. Awesome, so, man. Yeah.
But yeah, so it was really cool to get Moon to scribble on it there for but it was just cool, man. I love like I said, I love seeing your work around town. I love all the stuff I see online and stuff, but it's just it's really exciting for me because, like I said, you know, what we've been talking about, I can time travel back to these moments when I see these images and stuff from the shows I wear at.
That's cool, man. I appreciate it. Facebook and Instagram, Rockin' Photo, RKNPHOTO. You know, for quick previews, and then the website. So, I mean, I'm not out to get rich doing this thing. I just love doing it, and hopefully I do a good job that people respond to it, you know. So that's really all I like. It's all about passion for me.
Sure. I can see it, man. That's why I'm here. Part of the fun for me with doing this show is just to, you know, getting to capture these moments, you know, just like you're capturing moments, and just showcase some of my friends around town that are out doing something cool. And so I appreciate you taking some time out to do this, man. This has been great. So
it's a pleasure. Thank you for inviting me, man.
Yeah. So again, rknphoto.com. Check it out. And if you see some stuff you like, grab a copy, purchase a copy from Kenny. So thanks so much, Kenny. I'll see you out there at a show soon.
Thank you, Shane. Hope to see you at ZZ Top soon.
Yeah.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Well, yeah, that was it.